只能送 The testimony of the Lord is sure, making one life a sinful. Would you be desired or they then go in a much bangle? Sweeter also than
This is Go Ye International's podcast. Thank you for taking interest in this episode in which I will continue the audio version. You may obtain a free copy of this to read on your own or even along with the podcast. Contact me through the email for this PDF version right away via email. Please continue to listen and learn with Go Ye International's podcast as I invite you to visit often and stay late. There is a different world for you to discover.
Won't you be designed or laid and go in a much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb.
A conscience of obedience. For those who are continuing in this exercise for an enlightened conscience, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, 2 Thessalonians 2:13, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth, 3 John 1:2. Having fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4:8. In these A Conscience of essays, the subject of sin has been addressed, so much so that people may be deterred from pursuing an improved understanding and experience with the Lord our God, who is a consuming fire, even a jealous God, Deuteronomy 4:24. Others will hunger and thirst after righteousness, Matthew 5:6, seeking fulfillment of all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Like the subjects of contentment and lamentation, obedience is another aspect of my conscience that needs refreshing, obedience being a very worthy consideration for all of us. In developing a conscience of obedience, three areas are considered. Obedience unto Holy Father in all things as exhibited by the paragon of compliance, Lord Jesus. The obligation of obedience set forth for those whom Holy Father has given the means to come unto Lord Jesus. And how obedience avoided prevents salvation in those who are in need of the Savior. And foils all progress and sanctification for those who, strangely enough, call Jesus Christ their Lord.
He left his throne in paradise to meet man's greatest need. Yet the Savior was rejected and led to Calvary. With their eyes they saw, with their ears they heard, but their hearts could not believe. That a simple man, a carpenter, could be the King of Kings. By a sinful race full of unbelief, he was nailed upon a tree. Yet the day will come when the clouds will part and every doubt will flee. And every eye shall see him in his awesome majesty.
The obedience unto Holy Father in all things, as exhibited by the paragon of compliance, Lord Jesus, is worthy of our attention to obtain a conscience of obedience. Peering into the life of Jesus Christ, we find though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. This is an amazing thing. The Son of God learned to obey. It is one thing to know about obedience, yet it is altogether a different thing to experience situations wherein obedience must be exhibited. This, yet learned he obedience, was not something that occurred in the celestial bliss of the eternal Godhead, for therein Father, Son, Holy Spirit, as one, are in perfect harmony. There is no sin present, no occasion for another will. Although, when the Son, whose name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19, verse 13, made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, Philippians 2, 7, things were different for him as the Son of Man than as the Son of God. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, Philippians 2:8. We immediately notice the element of humility in relationship to proper obedience. This is very important. A child that stomps out, grunts, or in any other negative way performs the assigned task given by the parents is not the aroma of obedience found in the fragrance exuding from God's Son. The example mentioned is of a child who is neither humble nor obedient. As we see in our marvelous model of perfection, Lord Jesus was obedient to Holy Father's will in an extraordinarily uncomfortable way. Humility to view the will of God, whatever it is, as superior to the plans we pursue and the comforts we so enjoy is what disciples of Jesus Christ are called to convey. This is a struggle, I readily admit. Americans in particular saturate themselves with ideal concepts of what life should be like. That impertinence toward God has even crept into the minds of Christians in this nation who, more than not, are found mimicking the encompassing culture rather than the Christ of God, Luke 9:20, they profess faith in but do not fully obey. Lord Jesus, however, was obedient to God's will, so much so that we read his humble affirmation, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Luke chapter 22, verse 42. My frail character and impotent nature struggles to find what Lord Jesus encountered in his prayers, to have it said, "There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him." Luke 22, verse 43. That passion of Christ was so intense and weighty. The Lamb of God was seen of his Father needing to be strengthened. Envision that higher than high definition, more audible than surround sound involvement of our triune deity working out our salvation. Oh, my obstinate transgression, callous half-heartedness, and vile iniquity, all in addition to my degenerate disobedience, was surely an immeasurable portion of the repugnant totality he encountered in that cup. A cup so disgustingly distasteful that even the best one born of women required divine intervention to experience it. That was obedience. That was humility. Oh, what a Savior! He was humbly acceptant of a will other than his, one that would not only bring about an seemingly premature death, but a death so severe, so horrible, it's an ominous chronicle to remember. What Lord Jesus learned far exceeded anything any one of us will ever encounter. Although his quintessential obedience is all we should need to gainfully pursue a conscience of obedience. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. Luke 22, verse 44. Is not that cause enough for us to vehemently vacate all disobedience? 2 Corinthians 10:6. Let us take a deeper look.
Yeah.
The obligation of obedience set forth for those whom Holy Father has given the means to come unto Lord Jesus should be understood to attain a conscience of obedience. Western cultures are replete with the awful examples of childbearing. Due to pathetic parenting philosophies and practices, there emerge successive generations over 60 years with a distorted view of what is acceptable in the area of obedience. Moreover, that insufficient foundation in various cultures around the world so many people developed under primed the same for a life of disobedience when it comes to Almighty God. This was not the case in the life of Jesus Christ, whose exhibition of obedience raised the bar for a dysfunctional American culture, as well as all others, that have divorced faith in God from obedience to God. Worse than that divorce of faith from obedience is Western Christendom's denouncement of obedience, usually in the terms of separation, convictions, and standards, as being legalistic and something to be avoided. During the course of 20 years since Christ's way, truth, and life, John 14:6, was imparted to my being, I have come to understand the extent of the erroneous content that Apostle Paul stated would occur. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. As this pertains to obedience, we read in the words of Jesus Christ, "If a man love me, he will keep my words." John 14:23. "And if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love." John 15:10. Since some may disagree, somehow thinking that this is not a proper use of Scripture, consider what Apostle John stated, the apostle whom the Lord loved, John 21:20, "Keep his commandments," 1 John 5, verse 2, "and his commandments are not grievous," 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, "and that we walk after his commandments," 2 John 1, verse 6. Well, to keep and walk after God's commandments is obedience, in case one thinks I've wandered off topic. The relationship of keeping God's commandments with loving Him will be addressed in A Conscience of Love to come. Humbly practicing obedience to God in the Christian life is not new Christian doctrine, however new it may be to those who are not grounded therein. With this in mind, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." John chapter 14, verse 21. "And conversely, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings." John chapter 14, verse 24. That's sufficient ammo, 2 Corinthians 10:4. For correcting some who suggest obedience to God is not obligatory or contrary to grace and faith. Our obligation to obey Christ's commands permeates the Holy Scriptures. In Apostle Paul's second epistle to the believers in Corinth concerning the nature of Christian warfare, we read, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. As for bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, I confess another incongruity Holy Spirit uncovered in my conscience as done before with contentment. For more information on that topic, consider encountering A Conscience of Contentment, available as a free streaming podcast at goyeinternational.podomatic.com, with the associated text and audio linked for free downloading. This issue of every thought may pass the radar of even some Christians well on their way in sanctification. It is straightforward to see that lustful thoughts, greedy thoughts, hateful thoughts, and the like are to be brought into captivity. Yet, what may not be so clear is the full spectrum or scope of that to the obedience of Christ. Is there more to this passage than the surface of noticeable sin and thoughts dangerous for serious Christians? In this essay, our Lord's example of obedience was mentioned first of all. He is our exemplar. Notice again how even the thoughts, "Remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done," Luke 22:42, are the premise upon which it is said Lord Jesus learned obedience. Those thoughts of his in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew chapter 26, were not sinful thoughts, for he was without sin, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. His momentary thoughts were merely different than his divinely appointed purpose. This is profound. The obedience Lord Jesus learned was between his Father's will and what Jesus momentarily hoped was God's will. There's a distinction between God's will for us and what we hope, even if that hope is for something that is not in violation of God's principles. On that shadowy and dark night where Jesus encountered the conflict of a pure inclination, the request to God about an alternate path, and the path predestined for him, he correctly, though uncomfortably, obeyed his Father's will because God didn't remove it from him. Talk about a dilemma. I don't fare so well when it comes to the same choice. In fact, I am only certain of what I have in my heart to do, an alternate path envisioned upon biblical principles. The other part, knowing what God has purposed for me to do, is something I am not yet sure. However, I received the lesson of Lord Jesus in this regard because he was aware of both, the very plan he volunteered for in cooperation with Holy Father and Holy Spirit before being born and laid in a manger, versus his briefly desired alternate path, if permissible. Perhaps for others, as it has for me, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:5, has more impact than before. It's not that I don't encounter those evil thoughts listed before. However, as I delight myself in the Lord and His law, I am finding the general issues of life are taking on the same seriousness of those vicious vices. Hoping for clarity, I continue to encounter within myself what work to do with my hands, Ephesians 4:28, where to live, James 4:15, which Christian fellowship to take root, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6, and other reasoning. I am just as pleased thinking about departing on a journey of no return to tell an unreached tribe the gospel of Christ Jesus according to the Scriptures. Considering America has become a predominantly reprobate culture that debases virtue and the God of holiness, I've longed to be involved with that kind of work for 2 decades. Is it just my mind, a halfway decent heart toward the things of God, that brings about these imaginations? Is it not the working of God? If so, I have in vain sought opportunity to do so, and that because I didn't bring into captivity every thought. What I am saying is we can want a good thing at the wrong time, or that is not God's plan for us at all. Unlike Lord Jesus, who clearly recognized both in his conscience and thereby selected a conscience of obedience, I, however, don't recognize a calling or divine appointment. Therefore, through the years I have found many principles in God's Word to take care of the daily grind. During that time, I learned much pertaining to developing a regenerative, sustainable, multi-species permaculture farming operation in proper symbiotic relationship to the renewable lifestyle that produces true food, fiber, and fuel independence in accord with God's Word. It captured my mind, filled my heart, and even involved my plans and pursuits. It burns in me as God's Word did to Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 20, and does to me. Actually, I no longer view them separately. It's like a symbiotic completion that compels me to get out of Babylon, Revelation chapter 4, 18, verse 4, and away from its contamination. That said, I think the example of Lord Jesus resonates with me, since he too asked for a different way, if Father would permit. Well, for 5 years I've been working for both separately, communicating God's Word, 2 Timothy 4:2, and looking to have a table in the wilderness, Psalm 23:5 and chapter 78, verse 19. Neither has occurred the way I envisioned, neither has manifest in any way that I recognize. I find similarities in Apostle Paul, who seemingly was finding dead-end destinations at one time in his life. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 8. For those who don't know, Troas wasn't the stopping place for Paul either. I don't speculate with what was going through Paul's mind after 3 stops before getting to where he was supposed to be. However, I know what goes through mine, and I don't even know what or where the Spirit is directing me to. One thing was clear. Paul, like the Lord, was determined to obey the mission God had given him to do. Guided differently by Holy Spirit on some details that Paul was attempting, he still exhibited a conscience of obedience toward God's involvement in his life. Therefore, to move forward in obedience to God, we have examples in Lord Jesus, Apostle Paul, and the patriarch Abraham, who obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Is that a tall order? Yes. Nevertheless, our God isn't an idol made by men's hands that cannot see nor hear. Our instruction in this regard is, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. And the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Luke chapter 18, verse 27. Why all of this? It seems to me walking in obedience toward our Lord, even at times of uncertainty, doubt, or confusion, is of great importance for discovering or staying on the path Heavenly Father orchestrates in our lives. By these examples alone, the case for our obligation to obey should be clear, although there are additional scriptures to aid us in achieving a conscience of obedience. Writing to the church in Corinth the second time, Paul expressed his concern for their response to what he addressed before. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Unfortunately, the typical foam-at-the-mouth, autonomous from God, independent type creatures, sometimes called preachers or ministers, become inordinately focused on one or two issues and descend into a disproportionate amount of narrow content out of God's Word, usually out of context, to hammer those who have succumbed to his venom. This is not what Paul was doing. His benevolent concern for the Corinthian Christians being obedient in all things was for their health and, most importantly, God's name in the community. God's name was being taken in vain, Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Paul was working on developing their conscience of obedience. Paul took this subject of obedience seriously. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 14. He even called for the putting away of someone called a brother over disobedience. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such an one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. Instead of disobedience, we need to be as obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to the former lust in our ignorance. 1 Peter 1, verse 14. God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. Therefore, we ought to have a readiness to revenge all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. May the obligation of obedience that our God calls us to in Jesus Christ be well established in us and evident by a conscience of obedience.
Let this cup pass from me, and though I'm willing, Lord, to bear the cross, whatever it may be, even now we know that all things still are possible with thee. Let this cup pass from me. I kneel in the garden as the tears stained with blood slowly fall to the ground, forsaken by friends, scorned by foes, enduring a passion that only my Father knows.
Obedience avoided prevents the means of salvation in those who are in need of the Savior. And it foils all progress and sanctification for those who, strangely enough, call Jesus Christ their Lord. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse, if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 11, 27-28. That divine decree is the underlying principle for so much of how a person is to live. There is nothing difficult about it, yet man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Job chapter 14, verse 1. Moreover, the wicked are estranged from the womb, but they go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Psalm chapter 58, verse 3. If that weren't enough, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17, 9. Because mankind is shapen in iniquity and conceived in sin, Psalm 51, verse 5, they walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Life really is as simple as obeying or disobeying the Creator. But the mentioned human condition that starts at conception and remains until divine intervention, salvation, is the reason for the propensity towards disobedience. Under the Old Testament, every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, Hebrews 2, verse 2, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, Colossians chapter 3, verse 6. It's no different in the New Testament, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. For as by one man's disobedience, Adam's, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, Christ Jesus, shall many be made righteous, Romans chapter 5, verse 19. The scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, the Son of God, who became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. That is life. Otherwise, he will return in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. And unto them who are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Romans chapter 2, verse 8. That is death. Choose you this day obedience or disobedience. Lord Jesus said, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Obedience is not optional. Three areas have been considered pertaining to obedience. During the ministry of the Lord Jesus, it was said of him, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Luke chapter 8, verse 25. I'm enthralled by the awesome power God has to control the laws of physics through thought and word. At the same time, I am ashamed to admit I have done much less in response to God's commandments than the natural forces of wind and water. I hope other people would join me in seeking our Lord's help for a conscience of obedience, whether they are a seasoned saint, a brand new babe, or have yet to encounter God's love.
This holy place, listen. listen as your children pray. Take me as I am, healer of my heart, lover of my soul, maker of the stars, the earth.
He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
His servant drinketh of the water that I shall give him, shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up.
This concludes this episode of the Go Ye International Broadcast. Thank you for listening, downloading, and/or reading along. You may contact us through the contact information available on the Go Ye International's podcast page via the email, the websites of goyeinternational.mysite.com, and there you get further information by which you can write and/or use other email and call. Also, Go Ye International would like any kind of comments and feedback that you are willing to offer through the various means available on this website and otherwise. Please make contact. Please continue to listen and learn with Go Ye International's podcast as I invite you to visit often and stay late. There is a different world for you to discover.
Thank you.